All right. Hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. This is our December business coaching Q&A call. And it's our, for those of you that are in Coaching Mastery Circle, it is our last live call of the month and the year and the decade. Oh, my gosh. We are quickly approaching the end of the year and the end of the decade, and I just can't believe it, trying to wrap my mind around it. And I hope that you all are doing really well, and I'm so happy to be here with all of you today and to just open up the space, hold the space and open up the space and give the opportunity for you to bring forward any questions that you have for me on your business, but it could also be around your practice, your coaching practice, your groups, anything that would be helpful for you to be able to move forward towards your goals. So that can include anything around your marketing, any kind of marketing that you're doing, or your copy, or your messaging, or your enrollment conversations. It can be anything around how you're showing up on social media, around your systems in your business, how you can create more time or spaciousness or get things done. Please feel invited to bring forward any blocks that you have, obstacles, fears, inner pieces that you want to take a look at and clear the way on so that you feel more freedom and openness and motivation to move forward. And feel free to bring forward any questions around what's going on with clients as well. As always, I'm going to ask and invite everybody to activate the law of adaptation, which you all probably know by now because I always say it. You know, it just means that even if somebody, you're listening to me coach someone whose business is completely different than yours or where they're at in their business is completely different than yours, I promise you there is a golden nugget in it for you. Activate the law of adaptation. See how it applies to you for your own learning. All right, with that, I'm going to open the floor, get us into hand-raising mode here. So it's star two. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I am bravely launching a six-month program in 2020, which
makes my
gut shake a little bit. I was going to do this sort of like, maybe you could do level one or maybe do level two. And we discussed it's like for me to have the impact that I want to have, I need 6 months. So I would love to talk about.
Can I just pause you for that?
Yeah.
Part, you're ready for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. You really are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank
All
you.
Right. Yeah, you're welcome. All right, go ahead. What do you need?
So I had a question about pricing and timing and like day of the week. So pricing wise, I'm going to include 4 one-on-one coaching sessions, which I found to be really essential in this work. And then there'll be over, so it's, I'm mapping out like 24 weeks. And 17 of those will have like actual content. Oh, actually, no, that's not, is that right? So 17 of those will be either content or kind of mastermind format weeks where I'm facilitating for an hour and a half. And then there'll be 4 weeks that are, there's no session, but I'll be doing the one-on-one sessions and 3 just like weeks off. So what I was thinking pricing-wise was, like, with the four sessions, maybe 1,000 right there. And I think I'm just going to make them hour-long, so it'd be like $250 a session. And then I was thinking maybe, you know, about 100 per class meeting, and that's going to include a Facebook group where I'll be inputting with them as well. So for maybe an early bird rate of 2,700 and a regular of 3,000. So I wanted to run that by you.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just doing a little bit of math here. I also, Marcy had sent me something about this. So, okay, great. A couple things. In general, it sounds good, but a couple tweaks I might make.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm saying this for you and just for everybody else because this is really important. I get how you came to the number. The privates would be this and the group would be this. But what's just important for you as you are inviting people in and selling and when you're executing is to remember the value that they're getting is not just from the actual time spent.
Right.
It's really important to remember that the container is so valuable and you are holding space not only during sessions but in between sessions, and that that holding of space is actually what helps them stay motivated, move forward, gives them energy, you know, like all the things. So it's okay to come up with a price based on the time that you're giving, but I just want, you know, for you to really see it as so much bigger than that. So that's number one. And then number two, I am wondering, so it's a 6-month program, so 24 weeks total. Probably it might be a little bit longer if some months are more than 4 weeks. But let's say it's 24, 25.
Right.
I feel like you're not giving yourself enough time off. Like, and then enough time off. So it's 3 weeks that you're not meeting out of 6 months. I don't know, maybe I'm too leisureful and lazy, but I feel like that's a lot of pressure to show up a lot. And I'm almost wondering if it's more like 15 group sessions or 14 group sessions and then the four private. Because, you know, just to give you also a little bit more space to live your life, and if things up, and it, you know, that sort of thing, my sense is they'll probably get to the same result, even if you have 3 group classes less. How does that land for you?
Yeah, I was thinking of, like, the one-on-one coaching weeks as, you know, that's not like a class, but I guess they're still doing the work.
They're doing the work and you're doing the work.
Yeah, and I'm doing the work, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to sit with that. My only hesitation is I think if I plan them around more natural breaks in the content, that would feel good versus I did sort of a beta version of this past year, and I noticed that when like 2 weeks passed, where we didn't meet as a group, it started to feel a little looser.
Yeah, I don't think, but with 6 months, you could not meet as a group 6 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And still never skip a week, more than a week.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think in Sacred Depths, it was like we had class, or even now it's like 3 weeks on and
a week
off type format.
Yeah, right. It's usually 3 weeks out of the month.
Okay.
Okay, and then they will be getting privates in between as well.
Right, yeah.
Less is more. It's so hard to like wrap a brain around that and really believe it for those of us that are
over
deliverers. And I mean, I know, but I have learned over and over and over again that actually less is more. So, so I would just think about doing that. Also, just for you, Kara, like, in general, we all need space, but also right now, like, you're going through a moment in your life where you need space, you know, and so there's no need to over-deliver when it's not going to, I don't think it's going to impact the results.
Great.
And then from there, so if you do the 2700, and I know you were thinking about, Marcy, let me know, like a 7-month payment plan versus a 6-month payment plan. That comes out to about $385. Well, I guess you would add a little bit more onto it. And so it would come out to just under $400 a month. Sometimes psychologically, to just like jig the numbers instead of like $397, if it feels okay, if it comes out to like $377 or $357 a month. It's not that much less income for you, but psychologically makes it easier for people to step in.
Yeah.
So, and especially if you take out some of the calls, that might feel in alignment for you.
Right.
So, and but if you decide that you want to keep it at the $397 a month, that's totally fine too, and I totally honor that, and it will be great, but I just wanted to offer that. Numbers are funny for, you know, people, and just sometimes like the $20 makes a big difference.
Right. Would you say the same, like if I'm thinking about 2,700 and 3,000 as sort of the early bird and regular rates, should I think about like 2,997 and
yeah, it's just a silly 2,697. Yeah.
Okay.
Silly thing, but yeah.
Okay. Great. And then, okay, so then I was thinking about making the announcement. So I was thinking about starting February 4th. I could, if I'm doing, well, let's see, yeah, I'm thinking about, because I want to be done by mid-July. So, and then I was thinking about, like, officially launching it the first week back, January 6th. Well, the first week back.
Told me
people,
that you
think,
were wanting 10 people in.
Yeah, that would be my idea.
So, I for me, 4 weeks seems very tight.
Yeah.
To bring 10 people in, like, it feels to me, and this may not be you, this may be my filter, so let me just ask you, like, that, it feels a little pressure-filled to me.
Yeah.
So you can either start reaching out sooner than that, right, like, now, to, like, your individual outreach list. You don't have to have
it
ready. Just get that template email set and get on
the
with people. I feel like if you did all of your individual outreach now, and you know, then it would be kind of less pressure-filled, more realistic. Keep it February 10th, and then the bigger kind of like community marketing happens after the beginning of the year, or push it out by a few weeks. But I just want to give you space so that it's not like rushed
Yeah. And so maybe if I had more of a 6-week timeline.
I'd say six, seven, 8 weeks here and there.
Okay.
Because this is, you're going to probably need to have conversations with most of the people that step in.
Right.
So figure if you want 10 people, you probably need to have at least 15 conversations, if not more. Even just that takes up time.
And I don't truthfully have that time until January, so I'll have to think about that.
But you can reach out to people and set now to set up conversations for the beginning.
That's true. And then when, so say that I, like, announce, you know, I did the initial conversations, some of them at least to set up in January, and I had this maybe 6-week timeline for the official launch. Mm-hmm. How, at what point in there would you end the early bird?
Close to when the program would start. So if you've got 6 weeks, like I would basically end it maybe 10 days to 2 weeks before the start of the program. Because I think that you'll need a little time to put it out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The other way you can set it up is, like, if you do some kind of preview teleclass.
I'm planning to do that.
Okay, so if you do a preview teleclass, I would add a little bit more urgency in. So let's say that early bird ends 2 weeks before it starts. In the preview teleclass, in addition to that, you know, maybe they get something special that's only for, like, the next, if they book a call in the next week. So it could be additional money off. It could be, like, a special group call with you. Just some kind of bonus to create a little more in there.
Okay, cool.
All right.
And then my last question is, I really think that people are going to get more from this program if they can be there in person, like not in person, but on Zoom. And I was wondering, so your calls are generally like 10 a.m. My time Pacific and 1 p.m. Is that based on, did you choose that like based on trial and error of like when most people make time or just when works for you?
A combo of both. So I try to be able to hit all time zones as well as much overseas as I can. And I also try to hit during school time for people that are parents. So 1 p.m. Eastern often kind of like fulfills all of the different things.
Okay. I like that. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Exciting stuff. Keep us posted.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. All right. It's star 2 if you want to raise your hand and ask a question. Dana.
Oh, hi, Joanna.
Hey.
I was going to put, I didn't realize that I'd be picked so soon. Can you hear me or should I put my headphones?
I can hear you.
Okay, beautiful. So I just kind of wanted to check in because, you know, I have a kind of some stuff going on and I'm just kind of trying to go with the flow of it all. But I feel like maybe I should get a little more clarity here. So I decided to like try to launch something before the holidays right now. And then I just started moving forward with it. Not sure if it's the best idea, but that's kind of the decision I had made. So I'm kind of in motion with that and putting the pieces together with that. And just sensing into just generally, it's helpful for me to like take a step back and look at the big picture of like where I'm at and everything that's going on. And, I have, you know, 2 clients right now that I got into, the 3-month, new 3-month thing that I'm kind of creating as I go. And it's been good because it's been giving me some like feedback of where I'm at with everything. So I'm realizing that it's at this stage, it's like very important for me to continue getting experience. Because I'm realizing the amount of money that I would like to make next year and like the process of leaving my day job and having time to even see clients, you know, and do the day job. Like, it's not evening out right now based on what I'm feeling confident charging for people right now, because I still feel like I am working out like my processes. And like, I was always fine doing the one-on-one stuff, and that was like kind of how I was transitioning my business now, you know, through the work with you. So it's like I've kind of let go of the one-on-one stuff for the most part, and now just pushing like the 6 week and this 3 month. But I'm realizing that, yes, there's a lot of places where like my curriculum needs to get tighter, my containers need to get tighter, my coaching needs to be a little stronger before I can raise my rates to the numbers I need. So with that being said, I feel like it is a priority for me to continue working with clients right now as much as I can, which is why I wanted to do this launch so quickly. But then I'm also just not sure I have time to like launch a group program. And I mean, I'm doing it like I showed you, and I've been reaching out. I haven't had any signups yet. So I guess that's where I'm at. Like, I know I want to be in process working with people, but maybe it would serve me better by taking the time and launching something like in the new year. I'm thinking if I did that, it doesn't really feel aligned again until after the trip to Charlotte, so like the beginning of February, to actually start something new. I could obviously start launching it in January.
I was surprised when you told me when the program start was. I was like, oh, you know.
Got excited and started rolling.
I know, which is so awesome. I was so happy that you're excited. And it's like it takes a minute to bring people into a group. So I totally hear what you're saying. Let me just ask you a question. I don't think I realized that you had put one-on-ones on the back burner. Why?
I guess I don't know that I put one-on-ones on the back burner. So I signed up those two. I have two one-on-one clients now, kind of three, but one is like so low end because she's just been carrying over. But yeah, so I've had the two new ones that I just signed on within the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I guess there's like a lot of, like, I feel weird admitting this, but like, for some reason, it takes me I think because I'm like still figuring out my processes, and I'm still like trying to assess the sessions and what can I do better and build out the container. Like, it's taking a lot of like time and energy, and then I'm not charging enough because I have, I guess, you know, maybe some of it's money blocks, but some of it feels like legitimately like I just need to get more experience. So with the one-on-ones, it's just been harder to like charge enough. And again, maybe this is like a block I'm having mentally, a belief or something, but it just felt easier. Like, I would bring in more money with the group because I would be able to sign more people on at once, and it wouldn't take up as much time during my week because I have a full-time job.
Got it. Okay, now I feel like I fully understand. So last week, on a group call, there was something that I wanted to say to you, but it didn't feel like the right moment. So I'm going to say it now because I think it is. I have a feeling, and you tell me, you know better than me, I have a feeling you might be making things a little bit harder than they need to be. When it comes to developing out all of your processes. And I guess what I'm seeing, and again, you can tell me if this resonates or not, is that, you know, yes, for group programs, we want some more processes. Obviously, we want to develop our curriculum. But for one-on-one, Dana, you have all of the coaching skills you need, and meditation. I know you teach meditation and I Ching. You have all of the skills you need to not have anything pre-prepared for those one-on-one clients and go in and show up with all of your brilliance, and you are very brilliant, and all of your intuition and all of your skills, and then just go from there. It is helpful afterwards to do an assessment of what you might have wanted to do differently and what worked well, you know, like those things. But I just want to put that out there for you that it doesn't, maybe it doesn't have to be so, take up so much work for you.
So
how
does like,
that end?
I feel myself like it's like I'm a very sensitive person. So it's like, I feel emotions and I feel like I want to cry right now.
Yeah.
So I know that's hitting on something.
Yeah.
And so this is like the edge for me though, because I had two calls last night and like, I was like, oh my God, I suck at this. Like they went way over. Like I was having a really hard time, like holding the container tight. I was like kind of feeling like ungrounded and jumbled and like they didn't flow and they took up so much time and energy because like I went way over time for the calls. So I'm finding that that's happening to me. And I feel like then I'm looking back, I'm like, oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? So I know it's part of the growth process, but it kind of is like, oh, wow, I need like a lot more practice coaching. Like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And then I feel like I'm just taking up so much. So my point is I shared the first part with you because that's what's been coming up for me. It's not like flowing and it feels so easeful.
Yeah.
Like it's coming up for me that it's hard and I'm like struggling with it. So
yeah, good. So I'm glad that you're sharing that. So there may be some technical things that you could have done differently last night, and it sounds like you could see them right away, which by the way is amazing, right? But it's not like you don't know what could have shifted it, right? But you can see those things right away. But aside from the technical pieces, Dana, I have a strong hunch that, first of all, I have a hunch that those sessions went way better than you're giving them credit for. And, well, let me just pause there. Are you willing to kind of consider that?
Yes, I'm willing to definitely consider that. And the other thing that comes up for me is like after work, I'm so tired. And I was like, I didn't have time to eat and I was
so
grounded.
I already got that before you even just said that. I could hear it in what you described before. So we're going to get there in a second because there's a bunch of different pieces here. So number one, I hear that you assessed all the things that you could have done differently. But did you also, Dana, assess what went really well and what you did well and what worked and what the clients got from the session?
Yes, a little bit.
So tell us a little bit about what worked well and what they got. Share a couple things right now.
Well, so one was a client session. The other one was a little more of like an enrollment call for someone that already said that they were an in, but I wanted to just have that space. I mean, I guess I felt like what went well is it just took long to get there, but I do feel like we ended on a place with like a nice aha. And
what was like, the aha?
What was her aha?
Yeah, what was her aha?
My brain is like fried right now. Well, I mean,
or do you remember just how
I remember
was
yeah.
when
so
it ended because of the aha?
She has a family thing coming up today. That's like a trip with her family to go visit her sister's new baby. And she has a lot of triggers with her family that trigger her anxiety, trigger her emotional stuff. And she was going in from a very victim-y mindset that she had to do this and all this. So we did some work around shifting that and looking at like, this is a beautiful opportunity to really put these meditation practices into work in real life. And the thing is, it's not going to go perfect. And you need to just like really turn on the tools and go in with that intention to like look at it through that lens. So she felt, you know, more easeful around it getting off and like excited to practice the tools. And then we created some very specific tools for her to practice. But it took me like 90 minutes to get there when the calls are supposed to be like an hour, like 45 minutes.
Okay. So it took longer than you wanted to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Might be that your calls need to be a little bit longer, possibly, because I'm hearing that you did a lot in that time. I'm hearing that you rewired some negative thought patterns or started to. I'm hearing that you debunked some myths of perfection. I'm hearing that you cultivated motivation to want to do these practices, and I'm hearing that you co-created personalized practices for her.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see how big and how much that is, Dana? Yes, it took 90 minutes, but And she felt more easeful at the end of the call, and she was excited to do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's big, and that's impactful, and that's exactly what this person needed. And like you said, the trip isn't going to be perfect, but this trip is going to be very different for her than it would have been had you not had a session.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you just take it in a little, to take it in a little more deeply than you are? You really served last night. You really, really served.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that a little bit?
I do.
So yeah. Where do you feel it? Where in your body?
Like my stomach expanding.
Yeah. What's that feeling, if you could put a name to it? Expansion, or is it something else?
Kind of like surrender.
Ah, why is that important?
Because I'm trying to control so much of, like, the session.
Got chills. Yep, I just got the chills. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. My sense, based on what you're sharing, like we said, there might be some technical things you could have done differently. It might be that your sessions need to be a little bit longer, but my sense, it was amazing, and my sense is, like, probably one of the biggest things is for you to go in with a soul set and mindset of surrender a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then make sure you eat.
I was going to say that. I think that's a problem, too, because sometimes I say I'm going to do that just because I'm so exhausted. But I guess if I'm not grounded and I'm hungry.
No, I can't coach well if I'm hungry. Yeah. If I have to pee, if I'm hungry, if I'm thirsty, like any of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's important that you just have enough time in between work.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start your sessions, that's vital.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where I run into the problem of, like, and I'm so sensitive, and I need so much spaciousness that I feel like sometimes more than one session after work is, like, too much based on the other things I need to get done and do.
Okay,
and then
so I think you need to own all these things. I think you need to own that for right now your sessions are going to be minimum 60 minutes. You know, let's try to keep them, let's do 70, right? Not all the way to 90, but I think you need to own that you need spaciousness in your sessions right now. That could change. Don't do 45 for sure, 60 maybe. And I think you need to own right now that during the week or whatever work days are, you know, whatever our work days, it's one session. And then maybe, you know, one of your days off, there's more sessions.
Yeah.
It's the same way that I have to own that, like, I can't do sessions on the evenings or the weekends because of my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's like a part, we have to take those pieces into consideration.
Yeah. Okay.
I used to do sessions at 7 in the morning, and that was for years, and that was a bad idea for me personally because I am not a morning person, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. So then, I mean, the reality is I feel like, as far as with everything else I need to do, like, with the business, not just, you know, obviously it's not just, like, seeing clients. I feel like I can only see, like, three to four clients a week. And I want, like, at my current pricing, it's not enough cut it. But I guess maybe just for now to get the experience, I should focus on the one-on-one.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that the one-on-one will also help the group work too, but it does sound like having some more one-on-one practice is just going to be helpful for, like, your confidence level more than anything else. Like, yes, it will help with technical for sure, but that's not where I think you need the most support. I think it's around your confidence and feeling like you have more under your belt. So my sense is, like, maybe push that program out to February, the group thing. But the outreach that you do write, and by the way, all the writing that you have for the group can be applicable for them anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe the outreach that you do right now is to bring on another one or two more private clients.
Okay. Yeah.
And then if you have the time for it, which you may or may not, and it's fine if you don't, I would recommend finding someone in coaching in this program, or I may be able to find someone for you in Sacred Depth who wants to just do some extra coaching practice, you know, if that feels right. And then take all the pieces that we just looked at in terms of the surrender and, you know, all the other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does all of that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. I was definitely coming off of an evening that was feeling really like, you know, not grounded with clients. So that was kind of impacting my mindset, because obviously I've had calls where I've ended too that I've been like, I'm awesome. So
good.
That, yeah, so I mean, this was very helpful to just bring it all together and know where I need to like really focus for the next 2 months to get to where I want to be next year.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll do more planning after that, but I think this is the next 2 months for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was so helpful to talk through this.
You are so welcome. Keep it posted.
All right.
Okay. All right. Tara.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. So my first question is about my Facebook group for the Summit Training and the Women on Purpose program. They're both coming to an end this week, within the next week, and I'm thinking that the best thing is likely to archive the group. I don't know. I'm actually a little bit uncertain what is the best thing to do. So for Women on Purpose, the program is coming to more of a hard stop. So I think it might make sense to archive the group and share like the resources that we, you know, that are relevant to that program, so that they have like the recordings and everything. Mm-hmm. But with the Summit group, I know that a lot of people are still like, they wanted to launch in like the spring and stuff, but I don't know. So I'm like, so they could probably use the support of it, but like the program is over. So I'm not exactly sure what to do with the different groups.
Do you have like a public Facebook group?
I'm not super active. I don't have a very active one.
But
no.
Okay.
Like during summits, I have one, but I don't super use it when I'm not.
Okay. Because I was going to say with the summit people, I prefer you not. I do not like to keep Facebook groups for programs open longer than 3 or 4 weeks past when the program ends for two reasons. One reason is because it's more of my time. but that's a small part of it. The other much bigger reason is because the container is way looser and the energy just goes out, and then it's like, oh, I have this group but nobody's really acting. Like, it doesn't feel so good just because it's not held container anymore. And it usually just people end up wanting to close the Facebook group longer, way before they promised they would. So my thought was, like, if you have a public Facebook group, even if it's not that active, I mean, you could tell the people in the summit training, you know, I'm closing this group, but if you have any questions that I can answer over Facebook, post them in the blah, 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 you know, whatever the open public group is. And then that's also just a little nice marketing for you, in a way, for other people to see some students in action.
I feel like that probably wouldn't work because the questions are so technical. They'll be like, well, how do I get my video on Vimeo? Or I'm having a difficult time with such and such a speaker, or like those kinds of nitty-gritty practical questions.
I still would close the group, though. I mean,
what is the way to talk about it to them? Because I got some pushback when I mentioned I was closing the Women on Purpose group to one of my clients. She was like, oh, you're closing it? But that's
well,
been,
I actually have a different
thought.
Idea. I have a different thought for the Women on Purpose group. Let's get there next. So for the summit, you're not going to like close it tomorrow. Tell them, you know, I really want to give you the support you need. The program ends on X date
tomorrow.
Okay. I want to give you, my gift to you, an extra 6 weeks of this container.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to encourage you to use it and to use it well. Obviously, our program is going to be finished. I'm not giving you any new content. But I would love to continue to answer questions over this next 6 week period for you. I think if you pre-frame it that way, it is a bonus. They are getting 6 extra weeks of online support from you.
Yeah, it just can be a lot because I'm launching a summit, I'm launching a program, I'm like, oh my God, and then the questions can be, so detailed and require me 30 minutes to answer one question sometimes.
So give it 4 weeks. It doesn't have to be 6.
Okay, I'll give it – that's a good idea. I will give it a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or give it through, the first week of January. Something
mm-hmm.
reasonable so it's not, tomorrow done. They get that they're getting something extra from you, and then
mm-hmm.
it's done.
Okay, great.
Because it's a program that people can re-enroll in, one thing to consider is to keep the same Facebook group ongoing, but just some people might come out of it if they don't re-enroll.
I think, though, I'll just have, two or three re-enrolling, and the name of the Facebook group is Women on Purpose 2019. I mean, obviously names can be changed, but I also feel like confidentiality, because there will be very vulnerable posts that the new people joining would see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be a fresh one, because there's a lot of, somebody's daughter died, and there's posts, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I don't want anybody, I need to protect their confidentiality.
Yeah, so I would also give them a couple weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then I would close it. And I've told groups, this happens a lot of times, particularly in Curriculum Lab, where, people at the end of the 4 weeks are still working on their curriculum and they want the Facebook group to be open, and I say I'm really happy to, and transparently, when I leave groups open for too long, they just peter out, and it's this weird, is it still a group? Isn't it still a group? So I'm happy to really show up and answer all these questions for X amount of time, and then at that point we'll be closing but archiving, and so you have access to read
mm-hmm.
through. You'll go back to anything you want to go back to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, perfect. Can I ask one more client question?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so I have a client who, she's been doing well. She claimed weight loss as her niche. She's a nutritionist, and she is feeling a little bit, her deal is she's going to be doing a summit that will launch in March, but in the meantime, she's in an area where people really balk at spending more than $90 on sessions. So she is wondering about broadening a little bit too beyond weight loss. I mean, before it was an issue, she wasn't having any clients, but now she had somebody reach out to her who had acid reflux, and being able to make some kind of offer to people, because she does have a lot of training in functional medicine, so she can do things beyond that. So, how to support her, because she definitely wants to grow her business and transition out of her job, with potentially getting some clients who are not necessarily weight loss people. but have other issues that she can help them with. So I guess it's kind of a question of like niching. It's like she kind of did something awesome where she started getting clients with that need, but now it's like she feels like she would like to expand it a little bit for other, you know, potential clients who have other issues that she could help with. But mm-hmm. she has like just a weight loss program right now.
Is the work one-on-one or group?
It's one-on-one. She has taught groups successfully, and that is something we've thought about because she has done it as a class, and she was, like, totally undercharging at, like, a community center. But she does have all the curriculum to do that as a group. So, I mean, I thought, too, that might be an option for low-fee people. I mentioned that to her because she has some people who seem really gung-ho, and then they hear the price of, like, yeah. $1,200, and they get like, oh, are you serious? Like that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so there's two pieces here. So one is for the people that just can't, you know, they just aren't able to invest in the one-on-one, she could have a group program and then collect more of the people that otherwise would have fallen away. So that's definitely one thing. And it doesn't have to be, by the way, like an extensive, you know, back to what I was sharing with Dana, like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. you want to, you know, with groups, a lot of curriculum, blah, blah, you know, all the things. It could mm-hmm. be loose curriculum, but mostly group coaching. You know, it could be pods
she
of
has
four
the curriculum for
where
a
she's,
group
okay,
program.
You know,
so,
but
I
I'm just saying, like, there's so
that.
Many different yeah. options.
Right.
And then the other piece is if she's working one-on-one, it is pretty easy. You know, eventually when things are going more, she may niche back down. But it because one-on-one, she has these different expertises, mm-hmm. there's no reason not to. If she's done a summit, I'm assuming she has a regular newsletter. And
she
so,
hasn't done a summit yet. The summit is in March. Yeah.
Okay. So is she, do you know if she
does have a newsletter of some local okay. people, but it just has like 70 people on it.
That's okay. So, I mean, she can mm-hmm. start now, you know, just, and social media, just post about mm-hmm. acid reflux, do an art, write an article or two about acid reflux, post about mm-hmm. it, or, you know, whatever the types of things, mm-hmm. right? Like, if people are already kind of like seeking her out for it, then it should be an easy next step for her to just start putting it out there that that's her expertise and putting some content out. She can work with those folks one-on-one.
So do you think it should be a package, though, or one-off sessions?
I don't think you can. I mean, this is not my expertise, but I don't think you can solve
yeah.
some of these things in one session.
Right. Yeah.
Probably needs to be at least three, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So do a group program and keep it simple, and then also just write some articles on pieces
yeah,
of content.
Add,
that
yeah, and then people may come out of the woodwork, right? And she can invite people, like, mm-hmm. you know, speak directly, say, if you have this issue, these are things I can help with, get in touch, blah, blah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Thank you. That sounds great. Yeah.
You're welcome. All right. Who is this? 6004.
Hi, Joanna. It's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
I have a question. So I have been working one-to-one originally, and then in the last year I've launched a group program. So it's basically it's a membership style rather than a course because I work in mm-hmm. Mindset for weight loss. So it's an ongoing thing rather than having a clear start and finish. So it's more like a support thing. And we have pre-recorded like modules. So I think you'd call that like a loose curriculum. And then we have group coaching. And the issue that I'm having is like the pressure I feel like when I, cause I've worked with people one-to-one before and they're paying at higher price point, I follow them up. I'm more involved, but with the group thing, and also a lot of my one-to-one clients, when they finish working, are downgrading into the membership just so they've still got that touch point.
Like a maintenance and to stay in.
Like a maintenance thing, and that was my original idea for it, but because I didn't have a lot of clients, I thought I could just open it to everybody, and some people don't need one-on-one. They're happy with just that group level. But I guess it's that, like, letting people go at their own pace and expectations, like, for them to get results. I don't know, I feel this over-responsibility or something, and it's really, really pressuring me, especially coming into Christmas and with weight, that's a stressful time for people. Yeah, I don't know if you just had some advice on that.
Yeah, so first of all, just great awareness on that over-responsibility piece and what's happening, right? That's kind of half, right? Like, oh, okay, this is why I'm feeling so stressed out about it. So I just want to acknowledge that. And then from there, nothing I'm going to say next is anything you probably don't already know, but I think it's, you know, we need reminders on these things.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, a membership program is a very different container than one-on-one work. People invest more in the one-on-one to get more of you. And so just first and foremost, it's so important for you to remind yourself of that. It's a completely different animal. And it works differently. It's a different process. Even if the content is the same, it's a different process because the format of the process is different. And if you couple that with just being in integrity in the marketing promises of the membership program, and what I mean by that, and probably you are, I would guess, is to be totally clear, to not make any promises that you can't fulfill, and to be clear that what they'll get and what they won't get. So, like, for my programs that are not one-on-one, I'll say, like, this is not a replacement for one-on-one coaching. This is for you if, right? And I'll write things like, you don't need as much hand-holding. You're willing to show up fully present for calls and ask the questions to get your needs met. You don't need a lot of following up on. Maybe there's a certain amount of information that they already need to have, whatever it is. So long as you're clear when you sell the program on what it is and what it isn't, then you really need to give yourself the grace and the space to let it be what it is and let it do its magic. For what it is that helpful?
And I think that's the piece there. I'm very clear in the marketing. I'm very clear on the enrollment conversations. And often people will choose it because it is, you know, significantly less cost. But they really need to be a self-starter. As in, like, I will coach in the bounds of this time, but you actually need to come to the table. You know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly. And so you may need to also remind them of that once they're in. This is right, like, and I do that a lot, like, this is how you're going to get the best results of the program. This is how, right, and you hear, like, you're in Sacred Depths, you hear me say to people, ask more questions, post your takeaways in the group. How can I help? Right? Like, so you there definitely is a certain amount of reminding, but that's not overworking and that's not over responsibility because I'm not going to chase after people or feel bad about it if they don't.
Yeah, and I think it's the feeling bad part because I am quite shy and I've obviously come a long way because now I run a group program, but like to be able to say the stuff, like, unmute and say, I've got a question, is really confronting. And I think that, but then again, that's their journey. And if I'm trying to, you know what I mean?
I think this is your edge. And I also think you're ready to edge in here some more. Mm. It really sounds like it. Do you feel that?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So you can rest assured knowing that you're not promising, it really sounds like you're not promising anything in your marketing that you're not delivering. So then the next piece is to just, you know, as appropriate, remind people how to get the most out of the experience. And then the third part is for you to really be on top of your thoughts and notice when you start going into the place of feeling bad or over responsibility and bring yourself back to this conversation and to the truth.
Brilliant. Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, let's see who's next. Tammy.
Hello.
Hi.
So I had a question earlier about the mentorship thing, which I still have, but I think I'm a little stressed about this winter solstice challenge, and I just felt like I needed to be contained with that. I'm getting a lot of people signed up, and I'm just feeling, like, pressure. Kind of, I think, similar to what other people are speaking about, that I have to, like, create this amazing thing. And, you know, me, like, I have, like, a little bit of the container, but it's not all formed, so I'm feeling like, oh, my God, like, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not going to have it all together, and it's going to be a big flop. So I'm just feeling a little pressure.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm sorry for the chuckle. I'm chuckling because I can't, you and I have been working together for a while. I know you very well. I honestly cannot remember a single event of yours that has ever been a flop.
Right.
Like ever.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy. People love them. They get so much. Your perfectionist self, you know, might see this could have gone differently, that could have gone differently. And, of course, for all of us, some are better than others, myself included. But they're all still amazing. You know how to create a container for people to come together in community and honor the season and connect deeply inwards. And that takes no effort on your part, honestly. It's like in you now. I will take partial credit for that. I have taught you very well. You're masterful at it. Did you do a solstice celebration last year? I can't remember.
I think the difference and why I'm feeling a little nervous about it is because it's virtual. Like, you know, I'm not in person, which is like always my place of thriving. It's two live calls, and in between are like daily meditations or, you know, different questions or journaling or rituals that they do. So, I guess I'm just
nervous about
the container.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. So, okay, before we just go to the practical, I've got a practical thought or two, but before we go there, on an inner level, what's the shift that wants to happen here for you? What's the new belief or new way of approaching this, taking into consideration everything you just shared? That would be really helpful for you.
I guess just kind of the same theme that I've been riding on for the last time, like just trusting the process and not getting in my head about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And trying not to like please everybody. Like, you know, there's definitely like the pleaser in there.
Yeah, I hear you. I know that one well. So it feels like there's maybe two things. I want you to write down two separate things here.
Mm-hmm.
One is, it's not my job to please everyone. And the second is, even though this is a new format, I'm amazing at what I do, and it's going to be great. Or you can even say, even though this is a new format and there may be some glitches, I'm amazing at what I do. It's going to be great. Those, you know, you can shift to whatever words will work for you. But mm-hmm. I think both of those pieces, I want you to keep on coming back to them or keep them as stickies on your computer, you know, whatever it is, and really bring yourself back to that.
Yeah, no, that feels better just already, energetically.
Good. On the practical end of things, of course, I'm happy to take a look at, you know, whatever you come up with. But I think at the beginning of the week, you should just name it. You should just say, like, this is the first time I'm doing something like this virtually, and I'm so excited for it. And it's an experiment. So thank you for, you know, being with me in this experiment. I can't wait to see how it goes.
Okay.
So that, you know, whatever words you want to use, but I find sometimes when I'm nervous about something, I'm just transparent. Like, I just name it so that I have less resistance, and so that if there are a couple of hiccups, I get a little grace. People give me a little grace on it.
Right. And then it's also, I think, a lesson for others who are on the phone and feel like they can't do something because...
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, whatever.
Normalize it for them if they're feeling weird on the phone.
Yeah.
Instead of in person.
Well, even just, like, these are women who, like, are stepping into bigger things. So... If I, who they think is someone who has my shit together, can name her shit in front of them, then, like, that could make them be like, you know what, I could do something like this. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of nice. Okay. Cool.
Awesome.
Thank
you. Feel good?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Inbal.
Hey, Joanna. I have, like, a smaller question, and then I have kind of, like, a bigger concern.
Mm-hmm.
Which one should I start with?
Do the smaller first, and then we'll move into the bigger.
The smaller is that, you know, I'm struggling with this outreach. And so... Marcy and I came up with a plan yesterday, and it's like, okay, like, get most of the letters out by the 20th. And then I'm like, because part of me is like, I don't care when is a good time for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for myself, like, have mm-hmm. to send these out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then
it's
I'm
so
like,
funny.
Well, maybe.
Inbal, just so you know, I got an email from Marcy this morning, and she laid out the plan, and that was my exact thought process. For you too. Like, at first I was like, the 20th, and then I was like, no, she just needs to get them out, and then she'll follow up, and it's all good. It's like, it's gonna work.
Yeah, so then, you know, this morning I'm like, you know, the 20th, like, you know, it's like there's solstice, and like so many people are traveling, you know, on the 22nd, and just the way like the Christmas holiday works this year. So I wanted to, you know, to ask you about that. And then, you know, so then, like, when would I follow up? And,
yeah, so
you know.
First of all, like, I mean, you've heard me say this way more than one time. It doesn't matter. Like, the holidays do not matter. People are already in the process of giving, of spending money. The wallets are already open. The flow is already there. That's number one. Number two, sadly, people are more connected in during holidays, like online, than even during regular days where they're already connected in a lot. There are some people that won't be. There are some people that count this and that. But for as many of those, there are people that, like, are either distracting from their family or have too much open time, whatever. Like, it doesn't – the way our world works. Now, for better or worse, I really do not believe that the holidays matter.
So even if it's like asking someone to do something?
Yeah.
Like send to people you know or...
Well, you're going to have to follow up on some of that. I mean, in any event, but for sure. And so I would, if you send, it depends on when you're going to do the, like, actually send it out. But, yeah, I would say, like, for people to then pass the information on, probably between, like, the 20th and the 27th is not the best time for follow-up.
But for the original one, it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wouldn't do, like, both in the, like, that window. I wouldn't do two in the window of, like, even, like, the 19th to the 27th or something like that. One is fine, but just have the follow-up after that period.
Okay. Even if it's like it's basically like to everyone, because I feel like I just need to get these out before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And trust that, like, it'll be okay, I guess.
Yeah. Trust that it will be okay. That.
Okay. Check. No, if it were like that easy, but yeah, I think that, yeah, that for me, it's more about, like, getting it done and, like, out there.
Agreed. It's energetic. It's, like, not just for you, for, like, a lot of people, you're not the only one. Like, part of this is just energetic. I want you to be back in motion. I want you to be planting seeds persistently and consistently. I can't promise you that these exact seeds are going to be the ones that sprout right away in the ways that you want them to. But what I do feel that I can promise you is that if we can just, like, open up that passage, like, break the seal to get you into more of the persistent and consistent action, you're going to have seeds that are going to sprout.
Yeah.
Does that resonate? Does that feel true?
Yeah, totally. Because it's, like, really, like, it's, like, kind of, like, my main need right now is not even about, like, bringing in more clients or whatever. It's, like, starting to get in some sort of flow around marketing again.
Yeah, to be active in your marketing. So this is, so obviously treat this important. We want seeds to grow from it. But really see it more as, like, you're getting in action. You're opening back up to that flow, and to the, like, this is what you do. You know, like, you take persistent action in your business.
Yeah. So in a way, it's like it is to, like, bring in, like, or, you know, call forward, like, ECs, but it's mainly about, like, me getting in action.
Yeah.
And that's something that I can kind of, like, affect more than whether people are checking their emails.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, and then it's okay to follow up kind of, like, between the 27th and
the 31st? Yeah, I think that's a great time. Again, I think that's a great time. Of course there are going to be some people that aren't checking, and that's fine. But in general, I really do think it's a time where people are twiddling their thumbs and checking their email more than they should.
Yeah. So then, like, the bigger question is kind of about just, like, you know, everyone just, like, seeing all the emails around, like, you know, planning for 2020 and, like, kind of, you know, all of these things that I feel like I miss, and then kind of, like, what to do or, like, what to plan for in January.
I'm not 100% sure I understand the question.
So one is, like, being triggered by, like, all of the, like, coaches and people who are, like, hey, like, here's something, you know, to get ready for 2020 or, you know. And then it's like, okay, what am I going to do in 2020?
Got it. All right. So in terms of the trigger, you know, we don't have, like, a full space to go deep into it. But for now, what does the other part of you know?
I mean, like, it you like I am where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's yeah. I know the year I had. I know, like, other things I spent, you know, my time doing, like, you know, it's just, yeah, kind of like it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is, and what it is actually exactly more than okay, exactly as it should be. There's no deficiency in your last year or in you.
Yeah, and then just like keep it moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So from that if I understand the second part of your question, is you're kind of wondering what you're going to put out there in January. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so from that place, keep on moving forward. It is what it is, and what it is has no deficiencies in it whatsoever. What would make your heart really happy to put out there in January?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like those like 1 to 2 like one-off thing, or I don't know if I'm at a place where anything will make my heart happy other than like finishing my deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finishing the work for my deadlines. So yeah, so maybe that like one-off thing, or maybe like a 3-part thing around care.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'd say, first of all, just set a date for your deadlines, right? And maybe, like, give a little space. I mean, we want you to be in persistent, consistent action, but kind of know when the deadlines are going to, like, actually come to a little bit more of a hard close, or at least some of them. Yeah, I mean, I like either one of those ideas, something just small. Obviously, anytime you do a one-off, the ideas, it's a gateway to some, to you know, more, you know, you just offer one off forever, but yeah, or a 3-part something. I like either of those ideas. What was the, I can't remember what we came up with. What was it? Radical what?
Radical self-value.
Radical self-value.
I sent it to 4 clients and one of them came back and was like, this is exactly me.
Yay.
And, like, this is exactly what I want. And, you know, she's like, I'm not there yet. And, you know, then it was like, yeah, but, like, can you see that you're, like, in the process?
Uh-huh.
So she liked it.
Awesome. So if this has legs, I'll just throw out a couple things to marinate on, and we can, because I don't think we're going to, like, nail it in this moment, but I want you to marinate on it, and then we can come back together on it. A 90-minute private radical self-value, like, I don't know, mapping something out. Like, maybe we come up with, like, the 3 areas of self-value, or the 4, like, something kind of cool where you can, like, spend the session mapping things out with people or identifying pieces, or I'm not sure what, but something kind of fun yet deep around that. Or if it were a 3-parter, maybe it's also, you know, radical self-value, like the 3 pillars or something.
And sure. Then each session is like on one with some sharing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And either could be like a quick, you'd want to pick one, don't do both. But it could be like a a way to generate interest, to get more people just connected more deeply into like you, being with you and in your energy and in your teaching, generate a little bit of money, but really both of those things would be kind of jumping off boards into private.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Who is this? Your name isn't coming up, but your last numbers are 8451.
Oh, that's me, Joanna.
Deb! Yes!
I know, I have to find a way of, should we try to tell you? I feel like I should find a way for my number to show up. But I never do for some reason. I don't know why, but it's me.
Yay, well, I'm happy to hear your voice. It might be, it doesn't say it's a web call. Is it a web call?
No, I'm calling into the Danish, right into Instant Teleseminar.
Yeah, I don't know, your name doesn't come up, but... Anyway,
okay.
You come
yeah,
up.
All right.
So.
Yay.
Yay.
I was wondering, I really wanted to make the clinic call last week, but Ian was away and childcare and didn't work out. I do have a client question, but, you know, since all of my business, at least for the last 12 months, really has open referrals. I feel like the client support has everything to do with business. Would it be all right for me to ask
yeah,
a
totally.
Client question
right,
in this call?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, awesome. So it's a client, and it's a little bit of, I would really, really appreciate support to help her on the inner front, and I'm just not being, like, normally I can kind of feel into it, and I'm not in this case. Can I give you a quick kind
yeah.
of summary
yeah.
of where
mm-hmm.
she's at?
Yeah.
So she is a mom of two young kids, recently moved countries 3 months ago. She came to me to work through specific menstrual issues. Those are all shifting and doing really well, but something that's come up for her really since the couple months before the move was intermittent, just like not being able to fall asleep at night. And it's the 3 out of 7 nights, just not being able to settle. And so we've brought in lots of the physiological support, but what came up in our last conversation was her own sense of what's happening for her is that it's her thoughts and her thinking. And she uh-huh. shared with me that she has a tendency towards anxiety, mostly around perfectionism, self-esteem, self-confidence, and whether that's related or not, but certainly for her, it's her thinking. And as soon as she's not falling asleep, then she's getting triggered into thinking that she's not falling asleep and that that's kind of driving all of these physiological. So we've talked certainly about thoughts, and I was like, okay, like, is it a negative thought pattern? Is this like a belief? However, at the same time, like, I've felt like that there's a real need to navigate it quite carefully for her. I know that in our more recent conversation, she shared that she was like, thinking about the sleeping triggers her. And so she had, you know, had expressed that she actually didn't want to talk about the sleep and that she was just going to assume that everything was going to be fine. And so I wanted to honor that. And then at the same time, she's come back to say, like, actually, I really do want to. So that's really great.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it's almost like she's walking down the path. But, where is it? I don't know whether it's, like,
well, I have
black
a couple,
and white. Yeah.
A couple of thoughts. But what did you just say? I didn't hear that last piece that you just said. You don't know if what?
My feeling is that, like, it's not – so much about the thought pattern that she's having or like a specific belief
mm-hmm.
that for some reason my feeling is like going there is almost triggering. I don't know why, but normally I would feel more comfortable to go right in there, but maybe it's more about like black and white. It's like either I'm sleeping or I'm not. And there's something in there that we can explore to create a little bit more space, more options, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so if I'm understanding the situation correctly, and let me just ask to make sure that I am, when she can't fall asleep, that's what triggers her, and then that triggers her into just any other thoughts and anxiety, beliefs, thoughts, anxieties, which then keeps her up even more.
Yeah, it's like if her normal sleep pattern, if her normal, because she's always had really good sleep in the past, but if she's not falling asleep how she normally does, then all of a sudden the thinking kicks in, and then her feeling is that the thinking just takes over, and it's mostly thinking about feeling frustrated that she can't sleep, anxious that she can't sleep, you know, and all the things that come along. It's not like she's thinking about, you know, her kids or other things like that. It's really around sleep.
I don't think this is, I mean, there's always deeper pieces, right? But my sense, based on what you're describing, is I actually don't think, like, going deep and trying to unlock and unravel is the strategy here.
Yeah.
I think the strategy is more around the patterning. Do you agree?
Yeah, like the routine.
This is what's coming to mind, which is highly, I'm going to teach, this is great, because it gives me an opportunity to teach you and to teach everyone on the call a practice that isn't like in sacred depths. It's kind of a little bonus one. This is a very powerful, I'm going to teach, I'll offer this visualization. You can tell me if you think it will work for her. I can just tell you from my own experience, and I've worked with this with clients, it is extremely powerful and also works best as a practice.
Okay.
So everybody on the call can do this. Viv, I'm going to, like, work with you specifically. Like, we'll pretend you're a client.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be about sleep issues. I'm not going to ask you about your issues. You don't have to, like, name them. But I'll work specifically with you. But everybody just practice this on the call. It's kind of really cool. Okay, so, Viv, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to actually see your brain. And it's okay. I mean, I know you're a scientist. Clinician, you may know exactly what the brain looks like. But if you don't know what a brain looks like or your brain looks like, that's totally fine. However you imagine it, I imagine it like how I see it in the cartoon. However you see it is fine. And just really look at your brain. And even though, like, in this moment, because we're kind of simulating it, you may not have a negative thought or an anxiety, we all do, I want you to look in your brain, and I want you to find the hot spot. Wherever that negative, whatever negative thought you might have or anxiety, it's going to be hotter in your brain. It's going to be a hot spot. So just scan your brain. And if any, as everybody's listening, if you know a particular persistent anxiety or negative thought, you can think it and then see where your brain wants to light up. See where it's hot. And Viv, where is the hot spot in your brain?
Sort of in like the front top left, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Good. Good. So just focus on that front top left hot spot. Does it have a color? Does it look like anything, this hot spot, this negative thought, this anxiety?
Blue.
Okay. Yeah, I can see how blue would be hot. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine ice being, or very cold water, organic, of course, like clean, 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 very cold ice or water. I want you to cool down the negative thought or the anxiety, like literally see it being poured onto that blue spot, and just let me know when it starts to cool down. Just keep on pouring the ice or the cold water. Cool it down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel it cooling down?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. So now continue to wash your brain. And as our anxieties often do, probably the next anxiety or negative thought is going to pop up. And you'll see that there's a part of your brain that gets a little hot in another place. And just watch. See where it is.
I feel it in my feet.
In your feet?
Yeah, like it's weird. It's very grounding, actually.
Okay. Well, so the grounding is probably not the negative thought. So we're stimulating this,
no,
right?
Like, yes.
So, but did you see how it cooled down, and how did it feel when it cooled down? Let me just
like
you out the visualization right now.
Yeah. So my whole body felt relaxed, and maybe that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my whole body felt relaxed.
Yeah.
I feel so relaxed right now, actually.
Good. So that's actually the practice, right? And it might
be
five different hot spots that she has to cool down, right? And it's just pour the ice, pour the cold water. You can pour it over the whole brain, too, but it's good to find the spots. Now, because we're on loops with our negative thought patterns, it might be much more than five, but what I've found is like in short increments, if you do 5, 6, 7 at a time, things, not right away, but things will start to calm down.
Okay.
So
no,
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, like, this is one, again, I just say, like, from my own, I whip this one out whenever I get on loops where I'm like, I know, I understand everything that's going on here. It's not about going deeper. It's about breaking the cycle.
Yeah, this is so, because I was like, everything in me was like, it's not about, I don't know, I just didn't want to, not that I didn't want to go there, but I was like, that's not going to help.
Yeah.
Going into like the thought, like going in there, I was like, that's really not going to help. Whereas this kind of short circuits that and move somewhere else. And I was, about that, I know something that I've been doing, and I heard it on a meditation. And when I feel anxious and can't sleep, I think about the bottom of my feet opening up and all my thoughts like leaving through my feet.
Yeah.
And it helps. And maybe that's what this reminded me of, but is that the same kind of thing, like of using a visual to work with the thoughts to just release them?
Yes.
Is that
and
similar?
No.
But
it is.
Okay.
In the way that you're describing, 100% yes.
Yes.
And then the practice that I just shared is really like the thoughts are in our brains.
Yeah.
And those parts of our brains do get overheated I can't say there's exact science, and a doctor would like totally cut me down on this, but I actually do think there's some scientific connection.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like it's actually a specific practice around repatterning specifically of the brain. That's really cool. Well, it just worked with me in this moment. So, and I think for her, she is actually a coach. She's done some coaching training.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this is really helpful, Joanna. I was like, there's got to be a way through this. Like, I know there's a way through. So thank you.
So the practice, just it's important to tell her it's the practice. It's not the one-off.
Yeah.
Do it with her in the session and then see if she can practice it. And then I would even do it with her again in the next session too. Start to build a practice with her around it.
Yeah. Amazing.
Awesome. Great. I'm so glad you asked that
Thank
question.
You.
It gave me an opportunity to teach another tool today.
little gold
Yay.
In there.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Joanna.
You're welcome. All right. We are at time. What a great call today. I hope everybody got what they needed and enjoyed and learned. If you have more questions, please ask them in your Facebook group. I am here for you. I am going on vacation. I think all of you know starting on the 20th, I'll be out of town. for a couple of weeks through the new year, but I am here through next Thursday. So I'm sending you all a big hug and lots of love, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.